When I went to Western Minnesota with Don Keenholz this week, we were specifically looking for two rarities. Snowy plovers at Big Stone National Wildlife Refuge were our first priority, and if we had time, we were going to move on to Thielke Lake to see a Clark's grebe and Western grebe pair. We saw both, but cool as that was, for some reason the biggest thrill of the day for me was seeing a much more common species, the orchard oriole. I first saw this bird at the Morton Arboretum outside of Chicago back in 1976, saw them fairly often at Picnic Point in Madison during spring migration, and have seen them in several other states and wintering in Costa Rica. But though orchard orioles have a wide breeding distribution east of the Rocky Mountains, for some reason they're not typically found in central or northern Wisconsin or northeastern Minnesota. And even though I've birded western Minnesota quite a few times, I've never before seen one in the state. But the first thing when Don and I got to the refuge, an adult male and immature male flew into a bare tree, and I actually got photographs of them before they flew away. The orchard oriole is the smallest North American oriole. Interestingly, young males can be easily distinguished from females. They're both yellow, but the males have a black mask. Males keep this immature plumage for over a year, so females can distinguish inexperienced year-old males from older and more experienced males who make better parents, a bird's primary consideration in selecting a mate. These older males are brick red and black. Orchard orioles leave their wintering grounds in Central America and Northern South America in March and April, and they sometimes return there as early as mid-July. According to the Birds of North America, the species nests late and raises only a single brood to accommodate this migratory schedule. The short time spent on the breeding grounds has made it difficult to define breeding locality specimens in museum collections because of the great number of transient birds on spring and autumn migrations. Many specimens that were presumed to be breeding may actually have been migrating birds. The young male Don and I saw didn't show any signs of being recently fledged, such as a fleshy gape on the bill or the bill or tail being short, so it's hard to say whether these two birds were a father and son or simply two migrants hanging out together. That's what's so wonderful about birding. We humans have amassed a lot of information about them, but there are always new mysteries to puzzle out, and many of our questions have to go unanswered. Now that a lot of fruit is ripening, orioles are losing interest in insects and starting to pig out on berries. Both orchard and Baltimore orioles also lose their territorial urges and start associating in flocks. They're very quiet now, and so a little tricky to find. I have an upstairs window overlooking my husband's cherry tree. I get my best views of Baltimore orioles up there when the cherries are ripe. And Russ doesn't mind sharing his fruit with them since he can't conveniently pick from the top branches where the birds concentrate anyway. It's nice to have a tree in our yard that provides us with lovely and tasty pies and jellies, and even lovelier birds. You can see photographs of the orchard orioles I saw at www.birderblog.com. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.